Welcome again to our study of Joshua. I'm your host, Bob Resch. With me are my conversation partners, Dr. Matilda Fry and Dr. Jody Washburn. We resume our study of the book of Joshua with one that we have chosen to call, Do We Want to Be More Like Joshua or More Like Jesus? Why would anyone come up with a title like that? So, Dr. Fry, could you tell us what Joshua means?
The title, I like you bring this up, Bob, because the title, the name Joshua and the name Jesus is the same name. In Hebrew, Jesus is Joshua or Yeshua, and it has the connotation of the Savior. Jesus is the one who helps, who comes to help, who comes to redeem and save. And so the name Joshua has that meaning.
So did an angel come to earth to invite a virgin to come up with a whole new name for her child, or to supply a whole new name for her child, or was the name suggested by the angel one she probably already knew?
The name is familiar to the mother, to the people who are with her, the people who hear the message from the angel. And so the name is familiar because the stories are familiar. And Joshua is very present in the context of this people that are in a time where you have the occupation of the Roman Empire present. Mm-hmm. And so there is the need for a savior.
So I don't speak Hebrew. I speak English, so I say Jesus. But when I say that, am I speaking Hebrew, Greek, or English really, or is it kind of corrupted along the way? Is it all right to pronounce a holy name in different ways?
The name Jesus is the Gracicized, is that a word to use? From the Greek, Jesus, and then
Anglicized
uh-huh. into the English translation, uh-huh. and we do it in all the other languages too, right?
I would like to read not from Joshua, but from 2 Corinthians. Paul said, "We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of God." Now, this comes to a saying which is said frequently, by beholding, we become changed. And if we are changed but we behold, what themes should we choose to behold? Will they be different for each of us, and how do we pick and choose which themes? So, just for the fun of it, I would like to ask Dr. Washburn, Dr. Fry, so far, we haven't by any means finished the book of Joshua, but what do you remember about Joshua? What would you like to remember? And Dr. Washburn, what do you remember about Jesus? What would you like to remember? Since they share the same name, can we compare and contrast a little bit? And then what would we like to be more like? Can we do that for a few minutes?
Yeah. I mean, I think, Matilda, as you were talking earlier, I just thought about how, imagining the people hearing this child has been named Yehoshua, Yahweh saves. And hearing that when you yourselves are sitting in a tight place in many ways, not only the local community, but all of the communities that were, you could say, under the thumb of the Roman Empire. And when you think about Jesus inhabiting a body, like becoming incarnate, right, in the flesh, to show up and show, like literally, face to face, this God, this covenant God, is the God who saves. Hebrew language dictionaries, when you look up the word Joshua, that name, they will point out that in the manuscript or in the order of the Hebrew Bible, Joshua is the first name, actually, other than Jochebed, in the Moses story. Joshua is the first name that includes this Yahweh. And if you know throughout the Bible, if you think all the names we know that just come to mind, Yah, 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 Those are all names that include this shortened form of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the covenant God of Israel and Judah. And so Joshua in the Hebrew Bible really embodies, much like Jesus, right, that embodied this coming in the flesh to be with the people and to save them from this tight place that they're in. And so the things that I like about these names, and I'm a little bit of a nerd, I kind of like, I don't know, connotations, loosely associated connotations with words, because I think they add for me like layers to the texts. But one of these that I find great delight in, and Bob, I'm not sure how this ties into your question of like, do I want to be like, because I'm not sure if I can create space for those around me, but I love the connotation of the word in Hebrew, like to save. Many people, not everyone, but many people see a connection to another Semitic word that means essentially to bring out into a wide place. And these connotations, even if we don't argue about the specific words, it comes up in other places. Like many of us might be familiar with Psalm chapter 18, where we have like, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is the shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You know, this idea that when I need someone to be with me and look out for me, like all my other options are not looking good, mm-hmm. right? This is the Lord. The Lord is the one who shows up for that. And in Psalm 18, you have it starting out with, you know, the Lord is my the horn of my salvation. The Lord is the one who saves me from my enemies, right? So Joshua's name basically means the Lord saves. And that theme is picked up all through the Hebrew Bible and then carried forward in the legacy of Jesus. But this smaller connotation that I really love is this idea of when you're in a tight spot, right? And this metaphor of salvation being a bringing out into a broad place.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So just to give you an example, in Psalm 18, if you read on down to verses 16 through 19, you find this, like, God reached down from on high and took hold of me, and he drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. And the thing that I find fascinating here is that, you know, going back to the book of Joshua and how we have the framing of God's covenant loyalty in the book of Joshua embodied in Rahab. Rahab's name means spacious place.
Mm.
So here in the Psalms, right, that this saving of God is described with this word merchav, like basically like this open, how to explain it, in an ancient city, it would be like the plaza. Like the wide open place where
could we add the
gather.
Word generous to open?
Yeah, like spacious. Oh, yeah. And so I just love this connotation, you know, that when you save, you bring out into a wide place. I like generous.
Well,
right?
let's turn a little bit at risk of going too far. Suppose that you live in a tent and you want to be open and generous. So do you invite people in to come into your tent, and you can make the tent even bigger if it needs to be? Some will be closer to the middle of the tent, some farther to the edge, but all are welcome under the tent. Or would you concentrate on building a wall around the tent to keep the good guys in and the bad guys out? Which would be a better metaphor, do you suppose, for an assembly of God-fearing people?
Well, there's a time and place for both, Bob. Like the people dwelling in tents had a way of opening the front flaps. Like if you've ever spent time in a Bedouin tent made out of goat hair, woven goat hair in the Middle East, they're very efficient. But you can just roll the flaps back and create a wide space. But many times, I mean, we're looking in the biblical text at times where most people would inhabit that kind of dwelling place, and at other times when most people inhabited walled cities or fortified places where their cities were in like casemate walls, you know, where there's little crevices in the wall, and each of those is like a home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a both and as far as people's experience.
Dr. Frey, Tell us, compare favorably or contrast, then. The names are the same. What about the characters of Joshua and Jesus, or do we want to go there at all?
Well, it seems like the story of Joshua is very different from the story of Jesus, or maybe also the characters are very different based on those stories as we read them in the text. Joshua is the warrior. Joshua goes forward to take the land and bring the people into their inheritance. On the other side, we have Jesus, who is the caring savior for the people in all kinds of ways, close and protective, but also inclusive of everyone and does not like reject or put people out of his care. And so in that sense, there are connections and there are differences. But the fact that, for example, it is Joshua who brings his people and Rahab together is at the foundation of the Jesus story. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? So Rahab becomes the grandmother of the Yehoshua who is coming in the Gospel of Matthew, mm-hmm. for example. And so in that sense, there are definitely the close connections.
What do you like about the name Jesus, the person Jesus, the name Joshua, the person Joshua? Would you like to enlarge in any of those directions?
I think one of the things I really enjoy finding humor in sacred literature, it just tickles me. And I think, as we've mentioned before, there's a bit of, I don't know whether to call it satire or irony or something, to where you might be reading along in semi-slumber and then you suddenly jerk your eyes open. But we see in Joshua, you know, that now, like, the embodiment of the covenant loyalty of the Lord is first in Rahab, this sort of, we could say, dangerous foreigner that they're looking out for, you know. And when I read the stories of Jesus of Nazareth there on the ground, you know, the stories that there's so many, of course, were told in John. There's nowhere books could contain them all. But the stories that we do have, Jesus was constantly disrupting assumptions. And so I enjoy that about both. I think we can sit and just, I don't know, I feel a sense of appreciation for these disruptions, and where the text basically puts its palm up to me and says, you thought you knew? Well, we have something different to ask you to pay attention to.
And I can get very tired of highly systematic sermons where you almost know where it's going to end by where it started. But I really like stories. If suppose that it ever happened that you were nodding and maybe about to fall asleep in church, and then the pastor says, I remember when I was 12 years old. He has everybody's attention, doesn't he? He's going to tell us a story now. Jesus knew that secret too.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful to Joshua. I'm grateful to Jesus. I don't think we have to pick and choose. And I'm grateful to you two for sharing stories and impressions. And this comes to the time that we have to end this time. We're grateful for Corin Bailey, our broadcast technician. And of course, thank you so much to Dr. Matilda Fry and Dr. Jody Washburn. We hope that all of you can join us again next week for more of The Good Word. I am Bob Resch.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.